Okay, so I'm here with, in a rather random mode with a number of people from before the rains. Perhaps we can have the people who are here introduce themselves, and then as people actually enter this manic circle, they can then make their presence known. So perhaps you can tell us about yourself, folks, for the audience here.
Sure. My name is Jennifer Ely. I'm magnificently sexy, uncommonly talented, and very, very shy.
I'm Raoul Bosch, and I am another number of the people.
Okay, fantastic. I actually had a query that was originally going to involve Santosh.
Sorry,
I
got my name wrong.
Oh, okay. this is rather funny. I had a query that involved the use of landscape in this movie that I was going to address to everybody involving as well as Santosh, but the...
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
We're solely responsible.
But I wanted...
The mountains are mine.
The mountains are yours.
Tea plantations. Okay. I thought ahead.
But I'm curious, did you adjust your performance in relation to this emphasis on landscape? Because there is a specific color scheme. In fact, in many of the angles, you are sort of confined against the nature here. If either of you wanted to sort of weigh in on this particular dilemma.
I didn't think about the landscape at all. And, you know, it's funny, when you're doing a film, unless you ask, you often don't have a sense. So you probably do because you direct, Raoul, but you often don't have a sense of what tint is, what kind of film you're using and what the overall look of the film will even be. It's not something... And with this, with Santosh was directing, and he was the cinematographer, and he was the operator. So it was, he completely knew what he wanted, and he went and got it. I never had any idea what he was getting or what he was going for.
But there is the scene with you and Linus where you are in the bedroom, and both of you have adjusted your figures in a very specific direction. So this poses, I suppose, some dilemma when you were trying to, I guess, act within those particular limitations, or is do these limitations actually create more creative emotional expression?
Whatever we were doing just because it felt right and made sense. I don't think anybody told us to do anything.
Really? Even though you were kind of, your marks were adjusted because both of your bodies were swayed diagonally in relation to the bed in the bedroom scene?
It's because I would imagine it was because Linus's character is keeping a privacy of himself that she feels, and she feels he is withholding, so she is trying to reach him, and he is trying to keep part of himself private. I don't think either of us were really positioned that way.
Why you would keep yourself private if Jennifer Ely's trying to reach out to you? It's just suicidally stupid. Yes.
Well, to bring up landscape in relation to your performance, Raoul, I know that there are many instances in this film when you were standing above a cliff. And I was curious about this because this causes certain aspects of your body, without naming any particular anatomical appendages in particular, to actually make themselves prominent. But I mean, what...
But in Raoul's case, it's impossible for it not to be prominent.
but I agree, of course. But I must ask you. Okay, so okay. But I must ask you, in terms of standing above a cliff, how do you adjust your performance around something along this?
The danger of when you play a heroic character is the foreknowledge of your heroism. It's going to be that will destroy. That'll destroy it for the audience. There'll be an annoyingness and a smugness to the work. So I think that you just work on the small things. You just work as an actor on what you have to do in that moment. I was aware that Santosh was shooting this film, and especially TK, in a way that constantly put him in relief against, you know, Kerala, so to speak. I was aware of that, but that's something that I never thought of when I was on camera. Because, you know, it's just not like, okay, now I'm going to be rising and then they're going to have this shot of me and this cliff in the background and I'm going to be the hero and I'm going to throw the Ten Commandments down or something like that. No, none of that stuff, you know. I think it's the most off-putting thing for an audience to have an actor who believes, who foreshadows what's going to happen.
I should point out that Linus Roach has just joined us. How are you, Linus?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I was talking with Jennifer, the scene of you and Jennifer that in the bedroom, where both of you are sort of positioned in a manner in which you're both diagonal to the bed frame. And we were talking about this notion of performance in relation to landscape. And I was wondering if you had any particular thoughts on how landscape or the environment of this film, because this is a very environment-specific film, pertains to your performance or working within those particular limitations.
Wow.
What a question.
I didn't talk about that at all. Ed was talking about that. I said I had no idea about the landscape or anything.
I don't know how to answer that.
I did the mountains. For the landscaping, the mountains were mine. She said she did the tea gardens. What did you
do?
I know. I just love being there. Out of my mind being there. And so it was just such an incredible environment to make a movie in. And I had tears in my eyes when I left. I'd never been in such beauty for so long. So I understood why my character didn't want to leave there and why he fell in love with it. So
there is one very important aspect to your character that actually disturbed me. And that was the fact that your hair does not move. With the exception near the end, there's a stray follicle that actually sticks out. But for the most part, your hair is completely slicked back.
He was very particular about it. Linus, you know, I won't say he's vain, but there's definitely a hair thing going on there. And he just, if his hair would move, he would cut. He would call for a cut and take the shot again. He said, let me know if my hair ever moves.
Yeah. No, but I mean, was this an actual plan on your part? Because not even the wind can knock your hair out of
Did
place.
Did you enjoy the movie?
No, I'm serious. I mean, it was like a Steven Seagal motif or something. I was wondering.
I never noticed that. I've got scenes where I'm covered in water, and I've got scenes where my hair's all over the place.
Even when you're... Well, really? Because every single time, your hair is completely like pomade.
Well, they did use pomade in 1939, but yeah.
Well, was there any particular Brill Cream thing here or going on? Or?
I think your hair moved more than
Brill
mine.
Cream. We used hair pomade that they used in 1937.
I mean, what research did you do to get the exact nature of Brill Cream right here?
It's just, when you spend any time in England, it's funny, the manners and the clothes and the toilette of these British people who were living in 1937 in England or in India is just sort of part of what you know if you're an actor who spends any time in England. It was really interesting to me that the people, the costume designer and things who were Indian and who were working on this film had absolutely no idea what the English were wearing in India in 1937 and had never had any interest in it, which I found really refreshing.
Yeah. Well, going back also to the notion of landscape, I also wanted to ask you about the color scheme of this film. There are greens that are devoted towards the colonialism, browns that are devoted to the tribal and the Indians, and also there's the foreshadowing of red. For example, Jennifer, on your initial outfit, there's a stray border of red on your white dress and the like. Were there any sort of particular instructions related to color?
No, that was a costume that that was the only thing we could find for me to wear for that scene.
That's more the truth. It was happy accidents. Yeah.
They threw my pink vests out. I mean, it was really shocking. I had some, you know, fuchsia and stuff going on there. But
this movie was more about a kind of creative, you know, rock and roll jazz fusion situation, because you had a creative genius like Santosh Shivan. I mean, there weren't a lot of huge decisions being made in this kind of arty level like that. It was more like a creative process that was unfolding, and some of it was crazy and chaotic, and some of it was kind of just like following what was there, making the most of it. And that's what a genius like Santosh does. So
if there was anything intellectual about the film, it was streaming out of Santosh. I don't think anybody ever sat down. It was very unconstipated process.
And the script, though, was very well thought through and multi-layered in terms of taking a domestic story, extrapolating that out into something epic. So that's where you had structure. But within that, you had this guy who was like, no, this shot isn't about you. It's about an insect.
Yeah, well, landscape is very important. Like in your house, in your character's house, there is this particular color scheme going on. So as a result, this has to affect your performance on some level. I mean, there's the red carpet, that's kind of a foreshadowing of what's going to happen later in the particular film. And so when you're dealing with colors that are this dominant on the set and all in your particular environment, this has to have some effect upon your performance and upon how you... In fact, you also did this interesting eyebrow raising throughout the film, Linus, I should point out. I'm curious how this chick came about. I mean, was this in relation to the color scheme? I don't know.
I think it had a lot to do with the carpet.
Yeah, no, I think it was definitely the carpet, because actually the movie is mostly based on a carpet.
And an eyebrow and one hair that goes out at the end.
I don't know what you're getting at.
No, seriously, if your performance, your eyebrows constantly raise, particularly as the events unfold, your eyebrows can start to do more of a dance upwards in the furrows of your brow. I'm serious. Right. This is the movie
well,
I saw.
It's something I trained, you know, I trained in eyebrow school. You didn't hear about that?
Yeah.
It's Le Coq. You go to Paris and they do a whole... It takes 2 years of actual deep, intense study.
But you're not raising your eyebrows now, so are you saving only...
So you've obviously done the training and you're
I have done the training.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you think about the movie?
I thought it was an interesting film, but you're evading the question here about color schemes and performance.
What I just think as an actor, you work with the environment you're in. It's an intuitive thing. I don't think about it. If I intellectualized it, if I tried to play red, how do you do that? How do you play the color red? I don't know.
I'm afraid if you play the colored red, then most of the audience would probably be bored and noticing the carpet.
Yeah, exactly. You just play them. You're working with great people. You work with the situation. It all comes together. If you think about it too much, you'd fall over.
You have so much on your plate as an actor, to do the stuff that you're sort of being paid to do, that I think all the landscape questions, all the production design questions, all the guy standing on the cliff, and the epic sort of heroic sort of that stuff. I don't think we spent more than 5 minutes ever thinking about in entirety thinking about the cinema of the piece.
No, I mean there are moments when I've seen it. There are moments where I think, oh, that's Lean, or that's Hitchcock, or that's that's that kind of shot. That's that kind of shot. But I had no idea at the time that that's sure. Because that's up to Santos. And if I'd known what he was doing, then I might inadvertently start playing Hitchcock or Lean or whatever, which would be a damn shame. And
but there's also this instance, throughout the film, eye contact is really not met. All the characters essentially are looking off into the distance. So this is a particular decision on Santosh's part.
It's the nature of the story. Santosh would never tell you where to look. It would be highly unlikely.
There is evasion. There's a lot of evasion amongst different characters.
There are very few people being honest with each other in the story quite early on. Immediately, really.
But
I looked at people.
You did, and your eyebrows.
Yeah, exactly.
I looked at your eyebrows.
I gazed deep into your eyes, Linus.
But the idea here of being aware in terms of your performance versus Santosh's instructions. Surely not all of your performances collectively were intuitive. There had to be some planning upon various parts, like the eye contact and like the evasion.
It's highly unlikely an actor would ever choose. You're doing your best at playing the reality of a situation. And
I've never done a movie where we've ever discussed this stuff.
No.
Never in my
life.
And
I've never really received instructions from a director.
It's impossible to work like that.
It would destroy the spontaneity or or any kind of genuine truth that you could bring to a piece.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. As it is, it's bad enough saying, hit your mark, catch the light a little bit like this, and if you could just crouch a little bit when you walk in kind of thing. Actors have to do those little technical adjustments at all times. It's a tricky medium that way. So that's enough. More than that, to try and talk about this stuff, I don't think I've ever spoken in my entire career of this stuff.
Santosh, he basically, performance-wise, it was up to us. He basically...
As you were saying, it was jazz, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was not.
But you're not aware in any sense of the actual positional aspect of where you're standing.
Well, you know where the camera is, but as Linus sort of said, you could be aware where the camera was, and you're doing the whole scene, and then you find out the whole thing was focused on a dragonfly. That's not something that actually happened, but you don't always know what, you don't know necessarily unless you ask, you don't know what lens you're on, you don't know where exactly, and you of course never know what's going to end up in the final cut.
Yeah.
Rahul, I had a quick question for you about your background as a rugby player. There's one scene in which you acted almost entirely with your arms crossed, and I was wondering how much your rugby experience factored into your movement as an actor, as this particular character, and also this notion of a limitation of your arms crossed playing a scene that way, also playing that particular scene with your back to the camera and the like. Do these intuitions that we're talking about here really operate well based off of, say, the limitations of a gesture along these lines?
Well, I think that rugby has nothing to do with my acting ever. In fact, it's the opposite, because you are so not aware of what you're doing on the field in terms of how your body looks or moves. All you're aware of is the technique of what you have to do, because you're trying to do something to get somewhere. Whereas in acting, very clearly, what you're doing with your body is being controlled by who you are. So this gesture I have used many times in the movie, because I believe it's a gesture of being supplicant, and yet having a mind of your own. There's something submissive about the gesture, but also contained. And I liked it. It began to come to me in the beginning of the movie, and I said, this is something that I like. It also showed some kind of duel taking place in his brain, some kind of sort of flux. And that's it came purely from an acting perspective and from the character. It didn't, rugby had nothing to do with it.
And Jennifer, you also had a particular interesting gesture.
Oh, don't tell me what it is. You'll ruin want to do it again.
You have, you're often standing and you put your right arm just underneath your hair, right by your ear. And I'm wondering how this tick came about.
Probably adjusting the wig. I don't know.
You look terrified at this point.
I mean, but to what degree are you aware, both of you, aware of these particular gestures? How much of this is...
frequently what can happen with... I mean, it all depends on the job and the story and everything. But often what can happen is when you are working, you're rehearsing, you're shooting, and a few days in you might notice something that subconsciously you have begun to do, like Raoul said, with his arms crossed or something, and and it feels right. And you can start to, you know, that's how you build a character. But often you can also, I never made a conscious choice to keep my hand behind my right ear or anything like that. It must have been something that just made sense, or like I say, I was adjusting my wig. I honestly don't know, but all you can hope when those things happen is that the audience, either doesn't distract them or it adds something for them.
Does something like a wig help you in terms of the limitations of this particular
character?
That
particular wig, no.
Yeah, okay.
Generally, I love wigs. I'm a hair actress. But.
Well, what do both of you do to avoid repeating yourself, or do you not worry about this, that innately there are aspects of your person that you must bring to every particular role, and therefore it doesn't really necessarily matter if certain gestures repeat over the course of several characters?
No, it worries me. It definitely worries me. It irritates me. And it makes me feel that I'm not original or inventive enough. I hate it. I hate to see a gesture being repeated unless it was absolutely necessary. But I've done it so many times, and I sometimes feel like cutting the shot and saying, I've done this in this other movie, I don't want to do it here. But then I say, but if it feels absolutely right and it looks right in this film, what's wrong with that? But sometimes when I get lazy, I will resort to certain Rahul Bose gestures, which I'm trying to cut them out, but it does bother me a lot. Yeah.
What about you, Jennifer?
I haven't done enough work, I don't think, to do that. I haven't done enough to be in that position, but Raoul's done, 20 times what I've done. So.
Well, fantastic. Well, anyway, thank you both very much for taking the time out to talk. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ed. Thanks, Sarah. Cheers.